Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio. I'm Darren Hefty.
And I'm Brian Hefty. Thanks for joining us today. Darren, right before the show, I was thinking, oh, it's Farmer Friday. Wait a second, it's not even Friday yet. So it's just a Thursday, and today we're going to talk a little about irrigation during the show. If you'd like to call in at any point, if you got a question for us, or you want to talk about this topic or anything else going on in your farm, we'd love to have you call in. It's 844-44-AG-PHD. That's 844-442-4743. You can email us, radio@agphd.com, or send us a note on Twitter, agphdmedia, Darren Hefty or Brian Hefty. We are live in the Morton studio today. I'm getting excited for harvest this fall, and I've been working a lot on what our fertility plan is for this fall. You know, that fertilizer is a really big decision, as is this whole water management thing. So we spend a lot of time here on the show talking about drainage, but there are a lot of people around the country that need the exact opposite. They need a lot more moisture. And so irrigation, there are a lot of different ways to do that, whether it's center pivot or subsurface drip tape. There are certainly other methods too. But when it comes to irrigation, yeah, it's important. I wish we could do some more irrigation on our own farm. It's just we got granite down below us and I can't get enough water.
You know, the challenge too for a lot of farmers that do have access to water is how good is the water? You know, we talk to farmers all the time. We look at water samples, water quality samples, and we see high pH, we see high salts, we see, you know, a lot of different issues that can pop up as well. So it's not easy. I know we talk to non-farmers all the time that say, well, why don't you just irrigate? You know, well, we didn't have a great crop. It was really too dry. Well, why don't you irrigate? Well, I wish it was that easy. I wish we could just say, yeah, we just need to invest and put up a center pivot or put in a drip tape system or something. If you don't have access to good water, that's tough to do. You know, at our Ag PhD Field Day site, we've got some drip tape, subsurface drip tape. We've got some drainage tile that was installed in such a way that you could irrigate through that. We also have an above ground lateral that we've got set up. And, you know, you look at a number of different ways of putting water on. Last year, we didn't have a huge gain underneath that lateral compared to our dry land because we had some timely rains. This year, I think we used the lateral one time. We could put half an inch of water out there, and they're getting it set to run again here. So we'll get another little shot on. But we've been really fortunate. Here we are in August, and we've hardly had to add any water. So you get some years like that, but certainly there's other years where you'd be irrigating almost immediately to get things going. In fact, that's one of the biggest advantages I see, Brian, with above-ground irrigation, is you can irrigate and seed the crop and get it to start quickly. That's one of the challenges that we face with dry land, and also for the guys with subsurface drip tape is if you're super, super dry, it's tough to get enough moisture to get that seed to germinate timely, and you often see uneven emergence out in the field just because some pockets in the field were a little wetter than others. So that would be one thing, and then, of course, keeping the rain coming timely throughout the year.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so back to the fertility thing. We'll talk more about irrigation later in the show. But on the fertility side, one of the biggest things that I'm looking at for this fall, Darren, is just getting a bunch of our ground finally built up to where we need it to be, in my opinion. And keep in mind, I'm going for pretty good yields for this area. Normally in this area, you're talking 45 bushel beans and 160 bushel corn. I'm going for my goal here in the next few years is I want to be at 300 bushel average corn and 100 bushel average soybeans. We need different fertility levels for that versus what the average is around the area, right? So I want to get everything, Darren, this fall up to 7% base saturation K. How are you feeling about that?
Well, I'm 100% behind that. You know, the question is how to do it. And we've got lots of different alternatives here. We've got access to manure. We've, of course, got access to commercial fertilizer. We can put stuff down deep in the soil. We can broadcast it across the top. And you can see how, all right, we can go into it with, oh, we both have the same goal. This is great. Let's do this. And we're both excited. We're willing to make that investment. We've seen the return on that investment. So we're all fired up. But there are a lot of different possibilities here.
Yeah, how are you going to achieve it?
Yeah, for one, I was just having a conversation with Rob Fritz, who's often on the show here, about poultry manure. And he said, man, we've got plenty of poultry manure. We can have it for the entire farm if we want. But that would require us changing our tillage program. We would have to conventionally till everything. You're required to do that. Not only does it make a lot of sense to do when you're putting on a manure that would be really smelly, but you are actually required by law to do it here. So we've got to get out and do that if we do it. So the question is, do we want to conventionally till all our ground? Not all the ground would this be a great thing for, but I am excited about accepting that kind of manure. We've got some dairy manure that we generally get. And, you know, looking at what we've got for potassium in both of those, it varies quite a bit. All right, those are choices.
Yep, but either way, we're probably not tilling that in deeper than 6 inches deep. Even if, let's say, you do 8 or 10 inch deep tillage, how deep is that stuff getting down? And that's one of the reasons why we've done a fair amount of strip till. Okay, so I can inject fertilizer down and place it at 10 inches deep. That's great, but I don't want to put huge rates on in any one shot. I mean, I'll put out what the crop needs, maybe a little bit more than that, but I can't put out three times what the crop needs because then I start worrying about, well, could I actually hurt some roots? Could that be a detriment? So we're going to do like a four-year program on some of the deep stuff. The other thing that I'll tell you, and one of the reasons why I'm so interested in deep fertility is if you look at a lot of the highest yielding farmers in the history of the world, like let's go back to Herman Warsaw in the 1970s. He was the first guy consistently raising over 300 bushel corn. Just think about that. In the 70s, raising over 300 bushel corn. Francis Childs in the 80s and early 90s, he was raising, or even late 90s, raising 400 bushel corn. I mean, it's crazy. But anyway, we have their soil tests. And it's not just their top 6 inches that's built up. Guess what? That next six inches is built up pretty well, too. And that's one of the big things that I would encourage you to at least think about is it okay to just have my fertility in the top 6 inches, or do I need more down a little bit deeper?
We'll talk about that. We'll also be taking your calls and questions on today's program. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If there's one thing farmers know, it's to expect the unexpected. And when the unexpected happens, you need to change plans right now. Not only does AgroLiquid have the crop nutrition products you need anytime, anywhere your crop would benefit from added nutrition, but we also have an outstanding team of field agronomists ready to help you determine the best use of your fertilizer dollar. Find your winning team at agroliquid.com.
Every season, you try to raise the bar to achieve your best corn yield ever. But disease can stand in the way, like gray leaf spot, northern corn leaf blight, anthracnose leaf blight, and southern rust. New Dilaro fungicide can stop them. Two different modes of action work on the diseases for the entire spray interval, delivering best-in-class dual mode of action residual efficacy for extended performance. It's the help you need for personal best yields. Keep raising the bar with Dilaro from Bayer. Always read and follow label instructions.
Farming in the dark? We've flipped the switch on. More insights, more options for more farmers. Introducing Smart Insight daily satellite imagery, on-farm weather stations, crop modeling, scouting, alerts, available in more locations than ever before. Smart Insight, the only crop monitoring and digital agronomy solution with daily insights. Visit farmersedge.ca for details.
No two seasons are the same, so you need your crops to rise ready for whatever's in store. Now, there's one simple decision that provides coverage on four fronts. The Acceleron portfolio offers protection against disease, insects, nematodes, and even moisture or nutrient stress. In the fight against the unpredictable, rise stronger with Acceleron seed treatment products. Learn more at AcceleronSAS.com/rise-ready. Performance may vary. It's important to use proper PPE when handling treated seed.
Back, you're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio. Today, we're going to talk about irrigation a little bit on today's program. You know, it's one of those questions we get a lot about. We know we can do a better job. We know we can be more efficient with water usage. And we were talking about nutrients a little bit. You get that nutrient balance right. That can certainly help you utilize less gallons of water per bushel produced, which would be awesome. There are certainly things and techniques to lose less to evaporation and other factors out in the field, and we're going to get into that here in just a little bit. Also, I want to talk a little bit about the Ag PhD field. I got some other questions about that too, but our phone lines are going to be open throughout the show today. If you've got agronomic questions, we would love to hear from you at 844-44-AG-PHD. Let's get back to the phone lines here to start things out. I've got Dan up in Michigan. Dan, how are you doing today?
Hey, good. Hey, I was wondering if you were just doing a half rate of that Endura fungicide. I was trying to price it around here, and it's for 11 ounces. They're telling me about $60 an acre.
11 ounces of Endura for $60 an acre. Boy, that sounds awfully high.
That's way too high. It should be $35 an acre, roughly, 35 to 40.
Gotcha.
So really? That's what we spent.
Yeah,
we got 11 ounces for $35. I know that's what it was because I had to write the check, yeah. And I wasn't happy about $35 an acre.
Just yesterday here too, Dan, we had a grower from North Dakota that had called in, and he was talking about 5.5 ounces for $17 to $18. So I think he was getting it about the same money as we were too. So I think that is a legit price. Are there programs in that, Brian? I know BASF runs a lot of programs on fungicides and so forth.
I don't think we're getting anything tied in with that. They do have a lot of programs, especially with Ingenia and stuff. I'd have to look. I don't remember off the top of my head. If you give me a minute, I'll look.
Yeah, what are you, I guess, Dan, what are you fighting with the Endura? Is it white mold that you're after, or is it other disease?
Has to be.
It is. It's white mold. Yep. I sent it in to you earlier this year talking about it was on the muck ground.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And we had some problem fields that have that on the muck. And so we were, it's been dry here so far this year. And we got 30-inch rows. And the stuff is just about canopied in right now. So we didn't end up doing any of the Cobra. I asked you a Cobra question.
Yep.
About using a Cobra. But we didn't do that because we didn't want to set them back, and they've got up there now. But we're wanting to go out there with that Endura, but I'm having a hard time finding it. I've got two different quotes, but they're at that $5.
It's spendy either way. I mean, even at the $35, that's a pretty good investment.
And the problem now is it's starting to get late. So the Endura that we did on the farm, I don't remember what it was. So we have probably 1,500 acres of soybeans this year, and I think we only did maybe 300, just thinking off the top of my head. And so, yeah, it was a fair amount of money, but we did it at R1. We were right there at R1. That's the very best timing for it. If you start getting late here, and you might say, well, it doesn't look like there's much white mold out there, maybe a little bit, but no big deal. The problem is the infection may already be in that plant, and while the Endura may help you, it wouldn't have given you the return that it would have at R1. And especially when you start spending even $35 an acre for me, I figure, boy, to make that be really worthwhile, I probably need to be gaining 7 or 8 bushels to the acre. And I know there are spots I'll gain at least that, but if I'm going to start doing full fields, it gets pretty hairy. And then, you know, if you're talking $60, I mean, that's, you got to have a lot of yield gain.
Right. Well, our rows have been so open and it's been so dry.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, that's why we didn't. You think still maybe we just waited too long?
It is certainly possible. You know, we had a similar deal last year. We had very dry conditions in the middle of the summer. We weren't real concerned about white mold, and it turned out to be one of the worst years we ever had. So the beans seemed small till even about this time, and then they kind of took off and we had some rain, but things seemed to come late. But we did spray some fungicide late, but I wish we would have hit it earlier. And so I just told our guys this year, whether it rains or not, at least on our problem acres, not on every acre, but at least on our problem acres, we're going to be using some Endura. And as it's turned out, you know, it's been a wetter than normal year, so I'm certainly glad now that we did it. But yeah, I mean, on our worst acres, we're doing 3 times. Next week, we're going to do our third shot on our worst acres. Now, not of Endura, but of different products. But we spent the money first, and then now we've been going with other combination products, things like Topsin, Domark, that kind of stuff.
Gotcha. Yeah, I did hear you talk about that before. Okay. For like a second app or
yep,
third
that's
app.
Right. That's right. So, I, you know, I don't have the answers for you, but I know this. $60 for 11 ounces of Endura is too much. I wouldn't spend that kind of money. And if you say, boy, I just can't find any that's any less than that, I might switch to Topson or, you know, Domark, Andiamo, something like that, because it's hard for me as a farmer to spend $60 an acre.
Yeah, I get it. And, you know, probably a half rate's not the way to go either, right?
There actually have been a lot of guys who've done half-rate stuff on soybeans, even on dry beans. I know a good agronomist up in North Dakota, he, the last couple of years, has had guys doing 5.5 ounces of Endura right at R1, and they follow up with Topson at about R2, R3, and he claims that's working pretty good.
Yeah, it all depends on how much growth you have, I would think.
Yeah, yep. The key is get it early. You have to be out before you see any disease. And, you know, a lot of our fields now are at R4. Well, when we're at R4, that's getting pretty late. So I don't know where you're at in this whole thing. It's possible that Endura could still pay. But the later you get, the less white mold is going to hurt your yield. The earlier it sets in, the more it's a problem. So you might have lucked out in having, you know, the weather conditions that you've had. It might all turn out fine. I'd put it this way. There's no way I'm doing all my acres. I'd at least be leaving a bunch of check strips out there to find out, yeah, was this a good investment or not? Because quite frankly, I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows what's going to happen the rest of the season. How bad is that white mold going to get? What's our weather going to be? We just can't predict that exactly. All we're in the business of doing is trying to figure out what do the odds say. The odds are, you know, like on my farm, when I've got a history, I had the right weather conditions, I got some fantastic beans, I'm shooting for 80 bushel beans, they usually get shoulder high, my odds are pretty high that I'm going to have some issue. So I don't know what all your conditions are, but I knew for me, the odds were it was going to pay, so we pulled the trigger and did it.
Gotcha. Yeah, these are about between your knee and your thigh, and they got their last third of the canopy. It just getting ready to close in now, and now they're, you know, we're getting around the 1st of August, and usually it'll show up about mid-August, end of August, after it's canopied in.
Sure.
And,
yeah, so, I mean, you certainly could try some. And, you know, if it's me, and I can just kind of tell by, you know, your line of questioning and everything, you're really debating whether this is worth it or not. So if it's me, I'm probably going to run some Endura. I'm probably going to run some, you know, either Topson or Topson, Domark, Andiamo kind of combination. And then I'm going to leave some untreated. And I'm just going to find out for myself, hey, this stuff works or doesn't work, whatever. But you mentioned Cobra earlier, and we do kind of like that one because we get some weed control out of it, we shorten the beans slightly, and it absolutely does show up pretty well on white mold suppression. So that, you know, for a lot of the state of Michigan and the state of North Dakota and some of these areas where we see white mold pretty commonly, Cobra is not a bad product. And you don't have to use the full rate. The price has come way down. You can use a very reduced rate on Cobra. You'll still get some leaf burn. I get that. But it does help for a number of things.
Gotcha.
All right.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, we may try half rate and some other stuff if we can't find it cheaper.
Okay. Well, good luck, Dan. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
You bet.
Listening to Ag PhD Radio, our topic today is irrigation. Getting a number of grain marketing questions. Boy, this has been a big topic this summer for sure. We're going to talk a little bit about that as well here coming up. And we're taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. In order to be the best farmer you can be, you've got to have a grain marketing plan. But what do you do when you're too busy out in the fields trying to maximize yield? Hi, I'm Darren Hefty. My brother Brian and I are always busy learning more about how to make our farm more successful. That's why we use Grain PhD to learn more about grain marketing and to work with our Grain PhD risk expert to create a complete grain marketing strategy. Visit grainphd.com to learn more about a free consultation for your operation.
Farming in the dark? We've flipped the switch on. More insights, more options for more farmers. Introducing Smart Insight daily satellite imagery on farm weather stations, crop modeling, scouting, alerts available in more locations than ever before. Smart Insight, the only crop monitoring and digital agronomy solution with daily insights. Visit farmersedge.ca for details.
With DuPont Approach Prima Fungicide, there's a difference. A real difference you can actually see in the health of your crops and the health of your bottom line. From superior coverage to more reliable performance, Approach Prima delivers long-lasting results against hard-to-control diseases like frog eye leaf spot, while the preventive and curative action gives you the application flexibility you need for greater yield potential. So see the difference of Approach Prima for yourself. Visit approachprima.dupont.com to learn more. Always read and follow label directions.
Farmers, wouldn't you love to have one set of concaves for all crops? With Estes Performance Concaves, you can. That means no more backbreaking work, changing concaves, or downtime. Plus, Estes Concaves stop rotor loss with less grain damage and a cleaner sample. It's the best money you can spend on your combine. Call 765-650-4131 or visit EstesPerformanceConcaves.com and take back your bushels. That's 765-650-4131.
This is Dave Robbins reporting from what can only be described as a cornfield under attack. With me is Jim Stafford, a local corn grower. Jim, what's happening here?
Mites, banks, two-spotted and carmine, you name it. This corn is under attack.
What are the plans, if any, to deal with this serious situation?
Well, we're not going to stand for it. We're going to fight the mite.
How?
ZLSC Miticide. Just one application by Grounder Air gives long-lasting mite control. Now that field corn, popcorn, corn for seed, and corn grown for silage are all labeled, mites don't stand a chance.
But what about their eggs?
ZLSC affects mites in all stages, even eggs.
What kind of timetable are we talking about?
ZLSC reaches mites under the leaf where they feed and hide with translaminar activity. For long-lasting protection after a single application, apply ZLSC at early threshold or as a preventative treatment.
ZLSC. It lasts so mites can't. Contact your local Valent representative or Valent authorized retailer for more information. Always read and follow label instructions.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. As I mentioned earlier, we've got our phone lines open at 844-44-AG-PHD, or you can send us an email, radio@agphd.com. But I want to get to Scott Harms with Grain PhD. Scott, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be here.
Just want to talk to you a little bit about the Ag PhD Field Day just over a week ago here. Well, I guess it was a week ago now that we were out there. Wanted to talk to you about that. I know you had a lot of traffic in the Grain PhD tent. Went through there a couple times, and it was kind of wall-to-wall there for a good portion of the day. Wondering what kinds of questions and comments did you get at the Field Day regarding Grain PhD?
Yeah, it was a great day, and it was a real pleasure meeting some of the real forward-thinking farmers that were out there. This is my second year out there, and you can just tell the farmers that attend Field Day have a lot of eagerness to learn. We had some really good questions, and glad we were there to kind of help people with, help become better grain marketers. A couple good questions, some good questions, but also some misconceptions, and I guess I wanted to touch on those real quick on what Grain
sure.
PhD is not. And we had a lot of questions regarding, what does it cost? And Grain PhD is not a fee-based service. So there's no cost to signing up and gaining access to the information that they send out. And then there's no cost to signing up and getting the GrainBridge software that we talk a lot about that helps producers out. And there's no cost associated with just signing up. Are going to the Grain PhD website, taking a look at the information. That's where people really need to get started and get some of the terminology down is go to that website and learn a little bit more about marketing. If you do take the next step and get tied up with a risk manager to help, become more sophisticated in your marketing, then there will be transaction costs associated with that. But that's just on a transaction base, so there's nothing to do. There's no cost associated with getting set up. So the other one is the Grain PhD is not a set marketing program. A lot of people thought that we're kind of like an ADM or a Cargill where you just assign bushels and, you know, you're into some kind of marketing program. That's not what Grain PhD is. It's an individualized product. We have some of those things available. We use that for some of our customers where we have some programs that they can take advantage of. But it's really about sitting down with each individual producer and saying, all right, what are you comfortable with? Where's your knowledge base? What are some products that you're interested in? And what are your marketing objectives? And setting something up individually so there's not a set program.
All right. I got a lot of marketing questions. I know the session that I was in with Grain PhD, I mean, we had the Morton Center packed and lots of things going. Was there a general theme that you heard throughout the day to many of these questions and concerns farmers had about the markets?
Yeah, I think probably not surprisingly, the biggest thing was with the price slide that we saw, some opportunities that were missed. It seemed like, and I can speak for our customers as well as, you know, people we work with, Grain PhD, as well as people that stopped by that day, that there was just like we were really close to seeing some real aggressive marketing decisions being made by people and getting ready to pull the trigger. But in, you know, mid-May, when prices were at pretty good levels, but the crop just hadn't developed enough. And there were some real concerns, I think, if you were in southern Minnesota, for example, or northern Iowa, where it was really wet, you know, you just weren't sure what kind of crop you were going to have. And it just felt like there was some real, people were real close to pulling the trigger. So a lot of questions regarding, you know, how do I get caught up now that I know that I have a pretty good crop? Where should I be making some of these decisions? But a lot of people in that boat, I know we've had people in that boat as well, as far as, you know, being undersold and being ready to pull the trigger, but then the rug got pulled out from under by not only good weather, but also the trade issues. So people are interested in figuring out how they can get caught up.
I remember in our grain marketing session that we had right after lunch, there's a farmer that asked a question. I think it might have even been the first question we had in that session. And he said, I've got nothing priced, nothing at all, and I need to get something done. What do you tell guys like that? And how about the guy that's got most of his stuff done but says, you know, I got 10% left and I just want to get the bins cleaned out?
Yeah. You know, we've had a nice move off the lows, and part of it is, you know, just getting the funds out of the positions that they were on the wrong side of when this news came on the trade front. So that had to play itself out. It took us further. When the funds exit and enter markets, they push markets further than they really should go, and we're seeing a recovery off of that. Back to more traditional fundamentals, I think we're pretty close to there in corn, a little ways away maybe in beans, but We think we've got some more upside here, a little more room to go. So we'd be looking at, for corn, December corn, you know, any move towards 395 basis to DEESH contract, 395 or above, be doing a little bit of pricing. So that's probably 15, 20 cents from here or so. And beans, any move above 930, being doing some pricing. And as far as old crop goes, there were a lot of questions regarding old crop. I've been hanging on. What should I do? You know, I think you have to get ready to just pull the trigger and move on. I don't like to market too many years in advance, so we like to keep it 2 years at a time. So the benefit of just moving and being done with the 2017 crop, especially now that we've recovered here a little bit, if we can get any kind of push at all in the next couple weeks, go ahead and get rid of it, and then start focusing on 2019, because I think there could be some early marketing year opportunities in 2019 crop, and that's really where your focus should probably go. But we don't like to get to market too many years at a time, so get rid of the 2017. If there's an opportunity this fall to re-own it perhaps, or this winter, you can look at a strategy if you really don't like where you sold it at. But let's get the attention towards the 2018 and 2019 crops.
Well, we had a question from at least one in the audience that I heard anyway. I'm sure you heard it several times during the day, that wanted to re-own things with call options. What month would you look at? What would be your guidelines for picking a strike price? And then how much do you invest in buying an option?
Yeah, we got that question that day, and we get that question a lot. There's options that expire every month, so you can customize your own time frame. But ideally, what we like to look at is the May strike prices, and that gets you through all the growing season for South America. It gets you past the planting intentions report at the end of March, and you know, you get a little bit of the early season growing weather you can perhaps participate in. and any kind of, you know, strong export business that happens in the first half of the year. So, but to get out to the May option, it does cost a lot of money. My options are a function of, you know, partially priced by a function of time. And if you can shorten that time frame a little bit, you know, that would be the best case scenario. So keep in mind, you don't have to, when you sell your grain off the combine or you sell your grain in the cash market, you don't have to re-own it right away. You can go in a time frame where you're not in the market, wait for a better opportunity. And typically, you know, you get into December, the markets are kind of quiet, volatilities are down. We like to focus on that time frame for re-ownership strategies in late November and December, get positioned for the new calendar year. And by waiting until the end of the year, you're able to shorten up that time frame and get those May options, which is kind of the more ideal time frame to cover. You can get those at a lot cheaper price.
All right. One last question for you, Scott. USDA report coming out next week. What are you expecting out of that?
Well, there's definitely going to be an increase in yield for both corn and soybeans. I don't think that there's going to be any surprise along those lines. They do, for corn, they do count the ears. They won't weigh the ears or measure the ears or anything like that, but they actually do some field data along with their standard surveys. So it'll be a little more of an accurate depiction of what we've got. Soybeans, they'll probably increase the yield there as well, given the crop conditions. So we'll see a higher... We'll see higher yield numbers, no question, next week. But as long as they're not shockingly high, and I don't anticipate they will be, I wouldn't be surprised if it helps to pull the lid a little bit off the market and allows the market to work higher. Everyone's going to be a little nervous and in case we get a real bearish number. But if we don't get that bearish number, I think it'll allow the market to move a little bit higher because I guess in my opinion, I'm not convinced that the yields are out there as some in the trade are expecting. And I think also this hot and dry start to August may have the crop going a little bit backwards as well.
All right, Scott Harms with Grain PhD. Scott, I hope you're right. I hope those markets start moving up. Really appreciate having you on.
All right, take care.
We're also talking about irrigation today and taking your calls and questions on the Ag PhD radio program at 844-44-AG-PHD. We'll be right back.
Nil. Nada. Nothing. That's how many documented cases of resistance you'll find with Manzade ProStick. You heard right. Nil, nada, nothing. Not all fungicides can say this, but Manzade ProStick from UPI can. This multi-site fungicide not only controls walnut blight, it plays a critical role in delaying the development of resistance, which is why Manzade ProStick is the foundation fungicide in all walnut blight control programs. For a recommendation, contact your PCA. Always read and follow label directions.
In 1949, Morton Buildings constructed our first machine storage building to establish our bond with the farming community. Since then, our relationship has grown, and so have our product offerings. From the smallest specialized operation to the largest agricultural enterprise, we understand the needs of your business and continue to evolve to meet industry demands. Plus, when you build a Morton building, you're backed by the strongest warranty in the business. To learn more about the Morton Advantage, visit us online at mortonbuildings.com.
Worried about weeds? Knock down tough species more efficiently and effectively with the Enlist Weed Control System. Enlist Duo Herbicide offers a convenient blend of new 2,4-D choline and glyphosate. For use in crops with the Enlist trait, Enlist Duo features the innovative Colex-D technology to provide near-zero volatility and minimized potential for physical drift. Farmers are discovering Enlist Duo stays where it's applied. And just as important, it wilts tough weeds quickly. Learn more at Enlist.com.
With Preaxor's Xemium brand fungicide in your soybeans, it's hard to know which comes first, disease control or plant health. Preaxor fungicide is proven to deliver both with consistent performance, so your soybean crops get plant health benefits like growth efficiency and stress tolerance, plus longer-lasting disease protection, all contributing to maximum yield potential. Grow smart with BASF and Preaxor fungicide. Talk to your retailer today. BASF, we create chemistry. Always read and follow label directions.
Interested in strip tillage? You should know about the Soil Warrior from ETS. With one-pass efficiency, optimized nutrient placement, and reduced production costs for higher profitability, the Soil Warrior brings the future to your farm. Visit SoilWarrior.com to learn more.
We started utilizing the Dura React system this year. You can adjust your speed and it automatically adjusts your sprayer tips. So you can slow down and you aren't building up huge droplets, or you can speed up and you're not throwing a mist that's drifting.
Hypro, helping you spray better.
Farmers value their independence. So does FMC. We understand the freedom to choose the best products for your fields is key to your operation's success. With the exclusive agronomic and economic incentives of the new FMC Freedom Pass program, you're free to choose your favorite seed and protect your crops all season long with proven FMC products. To learn more, visit fmcagus.com/FMC Freedom Pass or contact your authorized retailer today. Always read and follow label directions.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio, live in the Morton studio. I am Brian Hefty. Today we're talking about irrigation. Haven't talked a whole lot about it yet, but we will certainly get to that. Like I always say every show, we're happy to talk about anything. So if you've got a question, just give us a call here. 844-44-AG-PHD. That's 844-442-4743. Or send us an email, radio@agphd.com. We'll get to our Ag PhD Radio mailbag if we have time here later in the show. But first, we're going to get back to the phone lines. We've got Isaiah calling from Minnesota. Isaiah, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. So I hear you have some white mold concerns.
I do. It's in a field of irrigated soybeans.
Yep.
It's actually, I've got white mold concerns and weed concerns on this field.
Okay.
I guess to start with the weed concerns, I had a good program pre and got things burned down, and early post application ended up getting later than it should have given the weather that we had.
Okay.
And we got past the window to spray extend and ended up with some escaped ragweed.
Okay.
Roundup didn't do anything to it.
Sure.
Is there anything that I can do with that now? I'm at R4. Basically on the beans.
Okay. So let me go back just a little bit. I'm curious what kind of row spacing are you in?
30-inch. They're strip tilled soybeans into corn stubble, and this is a new field to me. Just picked it up in this.
Do you know
first year farming it?
Okay. Do you know, does it have a history of white mold?
I don't know on this field. I have some fields not far away that do.
Yep.
So.
And how about planting population?
137,000 roughly.
Okay. All right.
It's variable rated. It's lower outside the or lower inside the pivot than outside the pivot ring.
Oh, okay. Okay. And what did you do for pre-emerge herbicide?
I put down Sonic.
Yep.
And a burn down.
Okay. So burn down like Roundup or?
Yeah, there was Roundup and I'm trying to think if we had, I think we put a little dicamba in there, some
sure
extent beans.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. And you said it was strip till. All right. So mm-hmm. let's first talk about that pre. With Sonic, you've got two things in there. You've got First Rate and you've got Authority. We normally really like First Rate, but here's my question for you. Have you seen ALS resistance in your ragweed populations in your area? Because we are starting to see that in areas where the First Rate isn't working anymore. Do you know if First Rate's still working on it or not?
I don't, because generally I don't have any problems with it. I get them cleaned up with the dicamba, and so this is my first time. I didn't get dicamba on it.
Got it.
The extend on their post.
Yep, got it. The only other thing that I would suggest for you pre-emerge, you may want to, and I'm going to guess you probably have a little high pH, but you may want to throw a little bit of metribuzin with it. You can keep the rate pretty low, $2 to $4 an acre is all it costs, and that'll help a little bit on ragweed. But you start getting late in the season, and if your rows don't get shaded, then this is one of the things too. See, you're talking about two totally different things the way I look at it: weeds and white mold. And for weed control, I want a heavier population and I want narrower rows. And for white mold, I want a lower population and wider rows. So how are you perfect for both, right? What I'm hoping for going forward is that these dicamba beans eventually are stacked with Liberty. You can at least spray Liberty up to R2, and that it's just going to give you a bigger window to spray a herbicide. The only other things that I can tell you are fairly decent on ragweed. And I should ask, or I should clarify, this is common ragweed, right? Not giant? Or is it giant?
Yes, common ragweed.
Common, yeah, okay. That's what I figured. All right, so Cobra, Ultra Blazer, and Cadet. I believe that Cobra is the best. It's a little bit better than Ultra Blazer or Cadet. There's also Flexstar, but Flexstar, you're way too late if you're going to rotate to corn.
Right.
So those are your other choices. And so, yeah, if we're at R4 and I say, okay, I'm going to have to go out and burn my beans with Cobra, Ultra Blazer, or Cadet, how do I feel about that? I don't feel real great, but that's kind of where we're at now. So if it's bad enough, you say, oh my gosh, I got a disaster, Brian. I got to do something. Flexstar's out. Dicamba's out. Roundup doesn't work. Well, those are your choices. If it's me, I'm probably going out there with Cobra, otherwise Ultra Blazer or Cadet. I'll tell you one thing, too. In terms of leaf burn, what we found is if you get the micronutrients in that plant, and especially boron, for some reason it's boron, we always used to throw a little Solubor with Cobra or Ultra Blazer, and for certain guys, that really helped. Guys that had good soil levels of boron, it didn't help much, obviously, but having a decent boron level in the plant for some reason has something to do with the amount of leaf burn that a guy ends up with. So those are kind of your options. And believe me, I've been an agronomist for a really long time, and sometimes we get stuck in these situations. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to make the decision for the farmer, because it's you that's got to decide, am I willing to trade out some leaf burn at R4 for some weed control, understanding I can't get perfect coverage anymore. I'm not going to get 100% weed control. It's a real tough one. It's a judgment call.
My other option is to go to the local youth group and see how many kids I can round up to walk back and forth all day long. But.
Yep, that's all right. And, you know, there are some things that we do personally for youth groups and things like that where I say it might even cost me twice as much money as the other way, but at least the money's staying in the local community. And if I could do that, I probably would. Darren and I, growing up on the farm, we had to pull a lot of weeds. We had to, you know, go through with a bean rider. We had to walk. I mean, we did all kinds of that stuff when we were kids. Used the hoe. I was always a little scared when Darren had a hoe in his hand. You know, he'd get a little wild with that thing. But, you know, anyway, that was growing up on the farm years ago. Okay. So on the white mold deal, what I would say is, here again, Cobra is a good choice. It's just I want to spray a reduced rate of Cobra right before flowering. So I'm talking just a few days before flowering. So that usually means June 15th, June 20th. I'm going to go out with a low rate of Cobra. Then I'm going to follow up on my very worst stuff with Endura. Super expensive. And I'm probably just going to spot spray it. Just wherever I've got a history, wherever I say, ooh, this is low ground. My beans always get tall here. I got crazy high fertility. That's where I'm going to target the Endura. I was saying it earlier in the show. We did about 20% of our acres to Endura. So if I do that, I don't mind it. And then the other products we talk about a lot are Topsin, and that's very rate sensitive. 20 ounces is a full rate for soybeans. A lot of guys try 10 or 15 ounces. You can see it in the trials. The higher you go, the better the control. And then the other ones, Domark or Andiamo. And in fact, this year we did a combination of Andiamo and Topsin, and that works out, you know, pretty good. Then I got two modes of action. I got two products that are not as good as Endura, but between the two of them, pretty decent. So those are my best suggestions for white mold. Oh, one last thing I'll throw out, and I know this is getting long, but after this season, if let's say you have some white mold, and you'll be able to see it on the yield monitor, you can go out and make yourself a prescription map for spraying and go spray some Contans. That product is not cheap either. You're gonna probably spend $20 to $30 an acre, but if you just do it on a few acres, it's no big deal. With Contans, it's a biological that literally eats the sclerotia. So that'll absolutely reduce your pressure going forward. The trick is this. That product has to be kept frozen from the time it's manufactured till about a day or two before you spray it. So if you buy some stuff that's been sitting in somebody's warehouse all summer, that product's no good. You got to have it frozen, and then it can work. So I'm telling you this from firsthand experience where we've made a mistake, cost us money. So just make sure you're getting product that's frozen, and then that stuff, it's really good.
How about with the irrigation?
Yep.
Thankfully, I haven't had to run the pivot too much on this field so far because we've had timely rains, but we've been, quite a while without some rain now, and I've ran it. The beans are just canopying. Am I better off to run the pivot and put less water on and have it run longer, or, so it maybe runs for a couple
yes.
days before it makes the cover, or put
yep.
an inch on, have it run once, and then let everything dry out, considering the white mold.
Yep, probably fewer times, put a little more water on. That's what I would do. Hey, Isaiah, we got to run, but thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it. Stay tuned. This is Ag PhD Radio.
They don't leave nicely. When worms and aphids attack your crop, fight back with Nudrin. Nudrin is a powerful insecticide that's applied after your crop has emerged. Its quick knockdown and almost immediate control stops worms and aphids in their tracks. Learn more about Nudrin and how to protect your crops from in-season invasions. Visit us at rotamnorthamerica.com. That's rotamnorthamerica.com.
Worried about glyphosate-resistant weeds and grasses in your corn? Unleash the power of new Impact Z herbicide and get the early post-application advantage you've been waiting for. Save $3 per acre when you combine Impact Z with a qualifying insecticide purchase. Go to buy2save3.com for details. Buy2save3 is a service mark, and Impact Z is a trademark owned by Ambac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Innovation is key to successful farming. Our innovative Thrive 3D application system saves you water, fuel, labor, and time. Get yours at no cost with FMC Freedom Pass. Simply commit to 3-year purchase minimums of Capture Thrive 3D insecticide and Anthemax herbicide to farm faster and with more freedom. Get more details at fmcagus.com/FMC Freedom Pass. Always read and follow label directions. Capture Thrive 3D insecticide is a restricted use pesticide. Anthemax herbicide and Capture Thrive 3D insecticide are not registered for sale or use in California.
If there's one thing farmers know, it's to expect the unexpected. And when the unexpected happens, you need to change plans right now. Not only does AgroLiquid have the crop nutrition products you need anytime, anywhere your crop would benefit from added nutrition, but we also have an outstanding team of field agronomists ready to help you determine the best use of your fertilizer dollar. Find your winning team at agroliquid.com.
Looking for an affordably priced fertilizer additive proven to boost yields in row crops? More than 1,000 third-party research trials concluded that Nutex EDA increases yield over 80% of the time. Nutex EDA is a micronutrient-based fertilizer additive that works by supporting the plant's enzyme processes to increase nutrient uptake of your applied NPK fertilizers. Try Nutex EDA this spring to maximize the return on investment of your fertilizer dollar.
Grow corn that pays you back for your investment. Headline Amp Fungicide from BASF is the smart choice. It consistently delivers plant health and disease control benefits like increased stress tolerance. You get more yield from an at-tassel application than any other fungicide, with best-in-class preventative and post-infection disease control. Grow smart with BASF and Headline Amp. Talk to your retailer today. BASF, we create chemistry. Always read and follow label directions.
Thanks for listening today to Ag PhD Radio. Got a little bit of time yet. If you want to call in, it's 844-44-AG-PHD. So we've been talking a little bit about irrigation today. We're going to continue that right now. We've got Mike Mills on with us. He's with Reinke. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm great. It's a pleasure to be on with you this afternoon.
Okay, so here's my first question. I don't know if you heard this. Right before the break, the farmer just asked, okay, I got soybeans. I'm irrigating. Am I ahead to irrigate with a lower volume more often, or should I put an inch on and then let things dry out just a little bit? What do you think?
Well, your response to him was looking at the white mold, and certainly that's an issue that needs to be taken into account. If if you don't have any disease or fertilizer pressure, then you want to take a look at what your management practice is inside the root zone. The goal is to keep the moisture in that root zone where that plant is drawing that from. So keeping a shallow application, a shallow frequent application, is going to keep that moisture higher in the soil and but lose some more to evaporation. A deeper application is going to give you more of a longer reservoir, if you will, until you need to do your next water application. So it really kind of depends on your weather forecast, your soil management style, and your soil structure. If your soil just can't hold the water, if you have a sandier soil where that water is just going to flow on through, then you're kind of forced into a lighter frequent application. But with a heavier soil that can hold it, then you can manage that root zone depth as you're managing your weather and your forecast natural rainfall, and then, as you were mentioning, taking into account whatever other pressures you might have.
Yeah, I had 10 seconds to answer that question, so I didn't have a lot of time to explain anything. But when he was specifically asking about white mold, it's like, okay, well, without knowing his soil or anything else, we do know that white mold needs moisture in there. And if we can get that soil in good shape and down deep, okay, we're fine, but I really don't want to, you know, continue to wet it down every day. Otherwise, I'm going to have a lot of mushrooms, and especially if he has some history of white mold. But it's a tough deal, because the conditions that are great for crop production, unfortunately, are also great for white mold and many other diseases.
And it's similar with water, just like you were talking with him about row spacing and plant population. There are pros and cons with that management practice, and there are pros and cons to your water management practice, whether you're adding short spurts frequently or taking a deep watering approach.
Yeah, yep. All right, so what else would you like to talk about today, Mike? What kind of questions are you getting from farmers and agronomists this summer about irrigation?
You know, we see a lot of guys that kind of want to know, when do I turn my water on? How do I know when it's time
yes.
to water? And we kind of touched on that. We kind of touched on that with your previous questions. And a lot of times the answer from the grower is, I saw my neighbor watering, so I figured I better turn mine on too.
Yeah, but let's get more scientific with that. I mean, what do you think about moisture probes? Or, I mean, what methods should a guy be using?
He's got to use the method that is going to be comfortable for him in terms of his ability to understand what's going on in the soil profile and with his plant development. So thinking about where your plant is in your development, how deep your roots are, what your soil type is, and what the use is on that plant. Let's take a look at corn, for instance. In early development, emergence through V4, that plant's got to have shallow roots, but it only really needs a tenth of an inch of moisture a day. So considering how deep those roots might or might not be when your next rainfall event, you can consider how much irrigation you want to need versus into silking and tasseling and silking. You're going to need more than three times that amount of water, but you're going to have a deeper root depth. So monitoring that soil profile through whatever method, either a manual method with a soil profile and pulling a core, or electronic method with a soil moisture sensor that is going to be able to tell you what your moisture is at those depths, and then manage that accordingly, especially with a rainfall forecast.
Okay, a lot of guys that we work with, they farm ground that, let's say, is 10, 20, 30 miles away from home, and I see them all the time on their phones, and they have the app looking at, all right, here's where my pivot's at, I can turn it on, turn it off, all that kind of thing. How comfortable are you with these moisture probes that we can start doing this kind of remotely, where we don't necessarily have to be in the field every single time, and we can say, ooh, my moisture probe doesn't look good, I better get that pivot running again?
You know, moisture probes are like any other piece of equipment I have on the farm. The better we take care of them, the better they service us. And there is a misconception that I put it in the ground and I leave it alone. And yep. That's not necessarily the case. They do require some maintenance. So if your grower is maintaining that moisture probe per the manufacturer's recommendation, done a quality installation on that moisture probe, and knows that he's getting good data out of that, then it's going to provide him quality information about where the moisture is in the soil. And as long as he's monitoring his plant development and rooting depth, he can make a good decision about whether or not an irrigation is needed, irrigation cycle is needed, and we can't forget our rain forecasting. If rain's forecast in the 24 to 48 hours, do I need to make the cash investment in fuel or energy to run a pump and a pivot versus a natural rainfall?
Yep. All right. I agree. All right. That has been Mike Mills with Reinke. Mike, thanks a lot for the time today. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Anytime.
All right. Let's go next to Iowa. We've got Evan on with us. Hey, Evan, how are you?
Good. How's it going?
Great. So I hear you have a copper question today.
Yeah. So I got a manure source. I'm using it to build P values, but I think I'm going to be limited by the copper content just by looking at the lab analysis of it. So my question to you is, well, I know you 1.4 to 2 parts per million is what you said in your soils clinic. But
that's kind of normal, but how far can you push it? Okay, how much copper does this manure have?
It says 0.62 pounds per ton.
And how many tons do you want to put on?
I was thinking 6, so if I divide that by 2, it should be 0.31 parts per million per ton, correct?
Okay, let me step back. All right, you said 0.62 pounds per ton, correct?
Yep.
Okay, so times 6 tons, then I'm looking at roughly 3.7. And you divide that by 2 to give you parts per million. So, you know, you're not even talking 2 parts per million. Go ahead.
That's on top of already there.
That's what I was just going to ask.
Yeah, 1.0 to 1.4 is kind of average for this field.
Yeah, you're fine. So if we started talking, hey, I'm going to put something out there that's going to give me, going to push my soil test above 20 or 30 parts per million, now I'm really worried. If you're only going to end up, and it'll probably take a little time for this to come available, but in a couple of years, you're going to be at 3 parts per million. Is that a concern for me? Not a chance in the world. No, you're fine. So don't get too worried about that. Yeah. It's interesting, too, when you bring this question up. I'll have to remember this. We talked to some specialty crop growers from time to time here on the show, and they'll use copper as a fungicide. And sometimes, you know, after years and years of all these copper applications, then the copper levels get high. I'm going to start asking some of these guys, how high are your soil test copper levels? But, yeah, if you read up on copper, your level's going to have to get pretty high before it gets toxic in the soil.
Awesome. Okay. Yep,
you're
Thank
good.
You.
Okay. Thanks, Evan. See ya. Yeah, a lot of great questions. And, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to an agronomist this morning, and we were just talking about the radio show, and he goes, I don't know how you do it because you never know what kind of question you're going to get. So far today we've covered grain marketing, irrigation, white mold, weed control, copper. it's a wide variety of things, as usual here on Ag PhD. You never know exactly what you're going to get when you tune in and what the questions are going to be. I really, really would encourage you, though, call into the show if you have questions, or send us an email. We're here to help. That's what we do. For Darren and me, we've got between 25 and 30 years of full-time agronomy experience. We've been doing the television show for about 20 years now. Been doing this radio show here for 5 years. We do farm. We consult with farmers all across the United States and in Canada. So we've got a lot of experience. A lot of times, hopefully, we can give you some good advice and maybe point you in the right direction. But, you know, it's kind of like we were talking a little bit earlier in the show when it comes to some of these things on the farm. It's a judgment call. Do I want to spend the money now? Do I think I'm going to get weed control knowing that I'm going to ding my beans up a little bit? And, I mean, there are all these things that it's just... It's challenging. It's tough being a farmer, and that's why we're here at Ag PhD. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show today. I guess I just wanted to thank all our guests who called in today, everybody who called in with questions as well. And thank you for listening. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio.